Are you ready to start the show? You are? Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Are you ready to start the show? Thank you. Oh my gosh. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Thank you, thank you. Welcome to the program. Oh, you were so kind at the beginning, and then you're so nasty. You just stopped applauding. What's that about? Oh, my goodness. Hey, welcome to the show. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess which one I am. I saw kids yesterday. Yeah, I saw them. They actually still exist. Yep, I was driving my car, which I tend to do. It's easier than pushing it. And the school bus somehow magically appeared in front of me. I don't know how that happened. Next time I looked up from unpacking my sandwich, I looked up while I was driving, and there was a school bus in front of me, and the lights started flashing like some type of psychedelic light show or something. And I had stopped the car because you're not supposed to pass a school bus. That's punishable by death. And the door opened up, and these cute little kids came pouring out like it was a clown car at a circus. How many kids can you fit in that little bus? Gee, kids kept pouring out and pouring out all over the place. And little mothers were running up, and there were no little fathers. They're all little mothers running up to the bus and grabbing their child and just and giving them a hug. You know, that's I love that. Oh, I love that. I love to see displays of affection between human beings. Not making out and practically humping each other, but I'm talking about just an expression of love off the cuff. And this little child went running into his mother's arms, and he was a little grade school kid, and the mother bent down and they hugged, and then she grabbed his hand, and they went walking off toward their house. And I just thought that was so endearing. A little bubble formed inside my body. I gas. I always have gas. But still a bubble formed. Sometimes when I go to the airport to pick people up, not that that's my job, I just know people that arrive in airports and call me and say, can you pick me up? And sometimes I do it. It's not as bad as a friend calling up and saying, I'm moving, can you help me move on Saturday? Oh, it's not that bad. And I've never done that, by the way, because I don't like people that much, especially close friends. I mean, you can be a good friend, I suppose. We can talk, I suppose. But the day you ask me to help you move, bye-bye friendship. That's out the door. First of all, you don't ask friends to help you move. You ask people that you kind of know who are really into that stuff. I know people like that. They'll do anything at any time. Can you help me lift a piano? Sure, I'll be over in 2 minutes. Like that excites them or something. I have the opposite reaction. If you ask me to help you move something, I have to say to you, I'm sorry, we can no longer be friends nor acquaintances. I'm not interested anymore. You've asked me to do something that actually drove a stake through my heart, and I can't do it. I'm sorry. You're despicable to me now. You're dead to me now. I will not help you. So I go to the airport, and people coming off of planes, being greeted by a loved one. In many cases, they haven't seen each other in weeks and weeks, and in some cases, months. And the affection at an airport is just so wonderful. I stand there and I stare at them and I go, oh my God, you're showing me true human emotion, fantastic. I love that. I love it. So I'm behind the school bus. Yes, are we going back to that? So I'm behind the school bus, and the bus continues about another half block and stops again and drops people off. And I'm thinking at this point, should I turn my car around and get to my destination by going around the entire earth and then hitting it on the other side? And I figure, no, but by then the school bus would have moved and things like that. Children, man, children. I was a child once. I can't remember when I was, but I'm sure I was a child. I know I started as a fetus, and then I probably had a childhood, and I remember most of it, but I don't know. I don't know. I just don't understand childhood. It's just, it's a learning experience where you drive other people crazy while you're doing the learning experience. My poor parents. Every child should turn around to their parents when they grow up and say to their parents, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I put you through that. That changing my diaper, actually like turning me over naked and cleaning the shit off my ass. Did I ever thank you for that? That's a bold move. I mean, wow. Can you imagine someone going to the extent of wiping your ass for you? That's devotion. I'm a guy. I'm sure I was lying on my back as an infant, and I probably peed in my mother's face. I don't know. I don't think she was into that. Some people are. Oh, some people are. I've heard about pornos where they do that, and they find that sexually stimulating. Oh my God! Why don't you people help other people move? Oh my God. And then my parents had to put up with my quirky little ways, like not wanting to eat any dinner, not really loving vegetables and having little tantrums. Oh, I apologize for that. That was not human of me to do things like that. Kicking and screaming and complaining about just about everything. My parents, they are really saints. Well, they're not really, but... sounded good to say that. I think children really need to understand, and I know they do. When your child gets old enough to have children of his or her own, that's when I swear every child says, "Oh my God, I put my parents through this." But you just say it to yourself. You should call them up. Or visit them and say, "I want to thank you for bringing me up and for tolerating my growing period and all my inconsistencies and my I probably said horrible things to you. I so much apologize for that. I'm not like that. I'm really not like that. I'm really a lovable person. But I'm sure in my childhood you saw things you didn't want to see. I apologize." It's true. It's called the circle of life, and you don't need to put on those little animal costumes in order to appreciate that. Someone told me that The Lion King, I think, is back in theaters again, I think. Not movie theaters, but on stage. And apparently they don't dress up in the costumes at all. They just hold animal masks in front of their face. And I'm thinking, that's pretty cheap production. I mean, that sounds like a grade school production. That doesn't make sense. I saw the Broadway show Cats long, long time ago when it had been, you know, a fresh Broadway theater thing. And they look like cats, man. They got the cat bodies and the cat, and they're slinking around like cats. I don't particularly care for cats because, I mean, I like cats. They're cute. They're sweet and everything. But every once in a while, you know, you'd be petting them and they turn on you. They just turn. They just lie on their back and they scratch the hell out of your hand. They scratch the hand that soothes them. I don't know, man. One thing I do like about cats is that litter box thing. That is really a good deal. Cats somehow instinctively love to bury their shit, and that's what a litter box does. You fill it with litter, for those of you that don't know how this works, and the cat naturally says, "Okay, I guess cats like think they're on the beach all the time, and the cat goes into the litter box and does its stuff, and then it clumps, and you just throw it out. It's just like a very, very nice relationship. Dogs are not like that. Dogs are like children. They'll just pee anywhere. So I don't know. I had to, when I was living in New York City, I had an apartment and I couldn't have dogs. So I'd had a few cats and, you know, there's not much of a relationship there. You can't walk your cat. Not that I want to, but there wasn't much of a relationship. I'd be sitting on the couch and the cat would sit in my lap and I thought that was great. And then the cat gets down off my lap and I'm full of cat hairs. That's so embarrassing. Walk down the street and, you know, you got a hair all over your crotch there, sir. Oh, yeah, I know. I'm sorry. What was I even talking about? Oh, kids. Yeah, kids. Yeah, kids. I don't know why adults get each other gifts at Christmas time. It's not your holiday. I'm not talking about the religious aspect of it. I'm talking about the gift-giving part of it. I don't think adults should be giving each other presents. I think it's distasteful. I think it's manipulative, to say the least. You buy Christmas gifts for kids exclusively so they can, on Christmas morning, Christmas Eve, whatever your tradition is, the kids open the packages and they go, oh, my God, Santa, look what Santa got me. Santa, hell, I had to save that money up. I got it for you. There is no Santa. What? Oh, sorry, did I let that slip? Christmas is for kids. It's not for adults. It's not for adults. This is a bad thing for me because Christmas time, because I am such a lovable person, I have a few hits of eggnog, and all of a sudden, see, eggnog is an amazing experience. You think you're drinking a vanilla milkshake, and you drink it quite quickly, but there's alcohol in there, and it sneaks up on you. It's in disguise. The alcohol is in disguise as a milk drink. That's a disguise. So within about 5 minutes, an adult starts loving everybody. Not to the point where you'll help them move. That's extreme. But I mean, all of a sudden, the people that you didn't care for before, you think of calling them. Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. Then you're ruining your whole bit. Don't do that. But you feel close to everybody, even your boss at work, who is the biggest asshole you've ever met, second to Trump. Even that person, you say, I really love my boss. What are you crazy? What are you crazy? You complain? What are you crazy? That's what alcohol does. It makes you love people a little bit more than you could possibly love them otherwise. You know, in France, they actually get their kids drunk. I mean, I don't know if they go that far. I don't know. I think that's the intention, but it seems to work. Kids in France and in continental countries, they give their kids alcohol. They give them wine, basically, at every meal. And I don't know if it's a good idea because those kids' brains are still developing, and I don't know if that's a good idea. But it sure works. I mean, if your kid was thinking of having a tantrum, that ain't going to happen now. Little Johnny is a little too mellow to have any problems right now. I don't know. I think it's a wonderful parenting tool. But probably not great in brain development. I don't know. Kids now are starting to smoke. What? What are you talking about, Ron? Yeah, they're starting to smoke. Vaping is the new smoking, but it's worse because it entices children or teens to inhale smoke into their lungs, and there's nicotine involved, so it's just as bad. The FDA or the CDC or the IBM, the EKG, I don't know what the thing is, they have definitively announced that vaping is more harmful than cigarette smoking. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they say that if you do one cartridge of vaping, you have to put cartridges in this little contraption. Yeah, you do one cartridge of that, it's the equivalent of a carton of cigarettes. All right. Anyway, I don't know if it's a pack. I guess it's a pack of cigarettes. It's a whole carton. I'm not sure. I have to look that up. I really don't care. I'm not a news organization here. You have your own little computer. Otherwise, you wouldn't even be listening to me. Google it yourself. One vaping cartridge is the equivalent of either an entire pack of cigarettes or an entire carton of cigarettes. I don't know which it is. Either way, that's horrible. That's horrible. And there's nicotine in it, so your kid's going to get hooked. And it comes in various flavors. That's definitely going to be in it. When I was smoking cigarettes when I was younger, and I didn't do it for long, right? I always said, boy, I wish they made these in flavors. Menthol, let's get into the cherry vanilla and chocolate, huh? How about that? Never did it because you couldn't, because that would entice people to smoke. Vaping, they do it. People are dying from vaping rather quickly. You don't have to wait until you're in your 70s or 80s to get emphysema. You can get it right away because the amount of nicotine and smoke that's going into your lungs is incredible. Look, here's the bottom line. Anytime you see a whole bunch of smoke and you inhale it into your lungs, that's not good. That's not a good thing. I don't think your body was composed to hold in smoke like that. I think it's going to do stuff to your organs rather quickly. And that goes for marijuana too, you little pothead. That goes for marijuana too. What's the idea of marijuana? You take a hit off of a whatever, a bong, a joint, whatever you may be hitting. And what's the object? Hold it down in your lungs as long as you possibly can, and then exhale before you pass out. But hold it in there like as long as you possibly can. Do you think that's a good thing? Do you think it's a good thing to hold smoke in your lungs inside your cavity body for as long as you can? You think that's good? Well, that's what smoking pot is. I don't know. I don't know the whole deal. It's all very, very confusing to me. I told you this before. My trust in everything is non-existent. It was when I was a child. It's non-existent as an adult. I truly believe that smoking, if it doesn't kill you now, will kill you later. Vaping apparently kills you now. Why wait? Cell phones, signals being bombarded to this little device that you carry on your person and you put it up to the temple of your head. Do you think that's a good thing? Eventually, it won't be. Do you think all the stuff we do is good for us? All the pollution? I don't know. I don't think we process these things very well. And ever since the cigarette thing, that's when I said, I don't trust anybody anymore. I don't. The government used to hand out cigarettes to soldiers because it calmed them down in combat. The government handed them out. Now they say it's poison. Well, it's a little turn of attitude, isn't it? Who would think that talcum powder could be lethal? Johnson & Johnson's is paying out millions and billions of dollars to people who got cancer from talcum powder. I don't think there's a baby on earth that didn't have a little talcum going on at some point. But nobody knew it. They say the people at Johnson & Johnson's knew that that was a bad thing for a long time, but said nothing because that would interrupt the sales of talcum powder, and that cannot be. And that brings us to our political situation, where we know that Donald Trump is a toxic, toxic entity. Toxic. But we seem to do nothing about it. Even though we know he's toxic, we just watch the toxic flow. I don't understand that. I don't get that. When a president has an approval rating that never exceeds 44% nationwide, is down now to, I believe, 37%, why is this guy still there? Why can't we have a vote of no confidence? I have no confidence. Why is he still there? Because we make up stupid rules and regulations, and we die by them. It's all very strange. Well, thanks for listening to me. You didn't have to do this. You didn't have to do that. I'm still not going to help you move. No way. And I got to tell you something. If someone needed a kidney or a liver or something like that, mine are being used right now, and I don't think you want them. My organs are not exactly perfect. There was a Seinfeld episode where Jerry had an injury and he needed a blood transfusion, and he found out that, and then he wakes up in a hospital room and finds out that the blood transfusion came from Kramer, and he freaked out. That's the way I feel. I don't want your blood in me. Now, if it's a life and death situation, I suppose I'll take it, but then do I take on your persona as well? Will I eventually start helping you move? Oh, no, we can't have that. We can't have that.
Hi, this is Bob Robinson from Bob's Handy Around the House. I'm a local handyman. I've been in business for the last 50 years on my own, doing light repair work in our area. Whatever you need done, carpentry, painting, floors, tiling, yard work, I can do it all for you. I'll come to your home and do the work for a very reasonable fee. Naked. I should probably mention that I will be naked while I do this work. Buck naked, not a stitch on me, waving in the wind, in my birthday suit, showing what God gave me, naked as a jaybird. I'll be naked the whole time. I show up naked, I do the work naked, you pay me while I'm naked. Bob's Handy Around the House, Bob Robinson. You can look me up on Facebook. I am naked.
Let's say hello to Linda DiCarlo and Dr. Jose. I say good morning to both of you.
Morning, Ron.
Good morning, Ron. How are you?
Great. Thank you very, very much. We're talking about dog bites, and who better to talk about this with than the Postal Service. Runs into this problem every day all over the place. Linda DiCarlo is with the U.S. Postal Service. This is a rampant problem, and it always has been, even in cartoons.
That's absolutely right, Ron. One of the things that the Postal Service hears a lot is, don't worry, my dog won't bite.
Yeah.
But given the right circumstances, any dog can bite.
No question about it. I have two dogs, and they are leashed at all times, if they hit the outdoors at all. But so many people in my neighborhood don't do that. They let them run around their property. Inevitably, they run off. And I guess when you get into rural areas, it's like leashes. I don't even know what those things are. And it infuriates me because it's so irresponsible. And yeah, I mean, postal employees go onto people's properties in order to do their job. And I can't imagine what they go through.
It is amazing, Ron. Last year alone, we had 5,700 letter carriers who were attacked by dogs. And there's really some simple tips that a homeowner and a responsible pet owner can take in order to help protect the letter carriers that are coming to their doors. The first is, when you see the letter carrier coming up to your door, put the dog in another room, lock the door, shut the door before you come to the front door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that I think customers don't realize is that if a letter carrier feels threatened, they will ask the customer to have to come to the post office to pick up their mail.
Good.
And if the dog's running loose on the streets, they could impact the delivery for their entire neighborhood.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. And there are laws against this. I don't know what they are in every state. But in Massachusetts, for example, where our studio is, there are very strict leash laws. But it's like people don't even seem to honor them because they all say what you've just said, Linda, is that my dog doesn't bite.
Yeah, in Massachusetts alone, we had 126 of those dog bites take place.
Where does that rank? Where does that rank, Linda, as far as the rest of the country is concerned?
Massachusetts is actually probably within the top five as a whole state. Rhode Island is probably one of the better of the Northeast region.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But I would say Massachusetts is probably about halfway through.
All right. Well, that's not great. Doctor was with the American Veterinary Medical Association, Dr. Jose. A serious problem? I mean, what can result from dog bites? Obviously, you know, it's not a great thing anyway, but how serious is this?
Well, the figures show there's about 4.5 million dog bites a year in the United States, and they range for very minor bites to major bites. And what we emphasize is part of what you say, speaking about using a leash, is responsible pet ownership, and that's the key. Prevention of dog bites starts at the owner, starts with puppy training, starts with selecting the right breed or the right type of dog according to your lifestyle, your life environment, the size of where you live.
Yeah.
And those are things that we emphasize so we can prevent dog bites.
Yeah. It falls under the category of human emotion. It's like if you have a little child and your kid goes to school and they get in trouble and they get into a fight, the parent always says, my kid didn't start that. My kid doesn't fight. My kid was never the aggressor. And it's the same with the dogs. My dog never bites. My dog is, they're just playing. It's fine. It's just...
Correctly. And we hear this on a daily basis. As veterinarians, we hear, this dog has never bitten.
Yeah.
And for me, that's kind of like a key to be aware it's going to bite me. And basically, any dog can potentially bite. We know there's over 70 million good dogs out there, but potentially any dog will bite.
Absolutely.
And they don't bite because they're born aggressive. They bite because they're reacting to something that happened to them, because they're fearful, because they're you invade in their space, or because they're sick. They might have a medical condition and feel bad, and they'll snap at you.
Linda, how is this handled legally? If a post employee is, or letter carrier is bitten, is this handled through the post office, or is that a personal attack?
Well, it's actually handled at two different levels for our employees. The first one is that we obviously provide workers' compensation benefits to anybody who's injured as a result of a dog attack.
Sure.
But we also do have the opportunity for litigation. It could result in a tort claim act against the property homeowner so that we could recover some of those funds, because technically it's not a work-related injury. I didn't cause it as the employer.
Right.
The customer who failed to restrain their dog caused it, so they have some liability in that matter.
Right.
And I know that we've been readily involved with some of the insurance agencies as well, and I believe that they find this to be a large issue as well for homeowners insurance and the like.
Well, it absolutely is. Doctor, what happens if you are bitten, whether you're a letter carrier or not? Maybe you're just walking your dog and some other dog came up and started a fight with the dogs or bit you. What do you do?
The first thing that the dog owner needs to remove the dog from the area, and then look at the victim, take a look at the wounds. If it's something that warrants going to the hospital, we recommend that they go. Many times it just requires antibiotics.
Uh-huh.
Some other, obviously, more severe wounds need to be attended, by stitches or whatever it requires.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the dog and the owner, the first thing that we want to look at is the rabies status of that dog, whether it's up to date on rabies.
Yeah.
If it is, it makes everything very easy, and that changes according to the state. Some or the county or the parish. Some states require rabies vaccination every year.
Yeah.
Areas where there's rabies, like I live in Puerto Rico, and unfortunately because of mongoose, we have rabies in Puerto Rico, and we require rabies vaccination on a yearly basis. Other states my only required every 3 years. So mm-hmm. that's very important. The rabies status will determine how the whole protocol is followed. Okay. Then after that is the extent of the injuries will determine what to follow. But clean your hands or wherever you get bitten with soap and water first, and then I would visit a physician just to make sure everything's okay.
Yeah, this can all be avoided if humans just aren't so cocky about their pets. Okay, interesting. We could go on, but I think we're a little bit out of time here. How do we get more information?
Right now, Ron, we have a lot of information posted on the AVMA website, and that's www.avma.org.
Excellent. Thank you both for your time this morning and for bringing it to our attention again, because it needs to be talked about and resolved. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ron, for having us.
Thank you, Ron.
Take care. Hey, you've been great. I don't know how you do it. I just don't know how you do it. You've been wonderful. You've been wonderful. I wish that I could return the favor somehow, but I can't, so I won't. And I think that's okay. And I'm not going to help you move. Hey, thanks a lot. You've been wonderful. Thank you, everybody. Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, my God. Have yourself a wonderful day. It is what you make it. Until next time, I wish you peace.